Dan Jonathan
Homage to Samantabhadra, homage to Vajrasattva, homage to Guru Rinpoche, homage to all the lineage masters, homage to His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, homage to His Holiness Jigme Ponsok. Before we practice any dharma, we must first give rise to bodhicitta. With respect to aspiring bodhicitta, this is not difficult to practice. Everybody can practice this. Make these aspirations. We can recite raising bodhicitta. And when we're reciting, at the same time, contemplate, think about the meaning of this aspiration of bodhicitta. For instance, I just recited. And all of these texts are really complete. And whenever we are reciting a text, while we are reciting, we should also visualize, for instance, if it is Guru Yoga, if it is deity practice. For instance, if we are practicing Guru Rinpoche text, while we are reciting, we can visualize Guru Rinpoche above our head. And it doesn't matter which text we are reciting. Some of them are short, some of them are long. All of them have an aspect where we can visualize. Refuge is the same, making aspirations is the same. While we are reciting, we can also visualize, and then the merit is very different. And any normal person, without any state of realization, can practice aspiring bodhicitta. Anybody can practice it. It's just simply making aspirations, and the merit thereof is very auspicious. Because when we've made the aspiration and then we engage in virtuous activities, the merit of that virtuous activity is the same as that of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Because we have the support of bodhicitta when we are doing the activity. If I haven't attained liberation, I haven't attained Buddhahood, how come is it that any merit that I engage in is equal to that of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? It is because any meritorious activity that we are engaging in, if we do it with the foundation of bodhicitta, the merit is equal to that of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. Naturally, in terms of the state of our realization, there is a difference between ourselves and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. However, in terms of our aspiration, there is no difference at all. In terms of merit, we are making the same aspirations as the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We are making this aspiration before attaining Buddhahood, and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, already having attained enlightenment, are making the same aspiration. Before we engage in any meritorious activity, give rise to bodhicitta. For instance, if it is just a prostration, or reciting one Om Mani Padme Hum, or lighting incense and making it as an offering, then the merit will be really vast. However, if we haven't raised the aspiration of bodhicitta first, then if we light some incense and make the offering, it's just the merit of lighting a stick of incense. If we do one prostration, it's just one prostration. It doesn't have the great vast aspiration of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Therefore, before we engage in any activity, first check our motivation. The motivation for everybody in any activity that they are doing, the motivation might be different. It could be positive, it could be negative, it could be neutral. And this is the normal state that we have, either positive or negative or neutral. If it is the case that we are engaging in the activity with a positive motivation, then we can give rise to the aspiration of bodhicitta again, and it will be more auspicious. If our motivation is negative, then think, oh, for how many lives, this whole life, I've been engaging in negativity. Let me transform the state of mind. Let me adjust my state of mind. And immediately we can transform this motivation. And then to transform a negative thought into a positive motivation is really quite easy. For instance, if we want to meditate, maybe we will meditate for 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And what we do is that first we establish this aspiration to bodhicitta. Then this meditation of ours is the same merit of that of the bodhisattvas on the 10th level or the 10th bhumi. However, if we don't first have the support of the aspiration of bodhicitta, then this time of meditation is just the merit of the time of meditation. However, it doesn't achieve the vast merit of the Buddhas and bodhisattvas. If we first give rise to boundless bodhicitta, and then afterwards we abide in Rigpa, then this merit really is inconceivable. And any practitioner can achieve this practice of giving rise to the aspiration of bodhicitta. To do this, you don't have to have a very profound state of realization or very vast actions. The standard for the aspiration can be achieved just as long as we have the right mindfulness and right awareness. It's very important then that before we engage in any activity, any Dharma activity, that we give rise to boundless aspiration of bodhicitta. And then we say, well, if I'm practicing bodhicitta, do I still have to practice the great perfection? Yes, you do. The realization of the great perfection is bodhicitta in action. It is the state of realization of the first bhumi or above. It is at a minimum the level of the state of realization of the first bhumi of the bodhisattvas. And naturally, this is a supramundane state of mind. And we may ask, may I be able to practice this high level, the ultimate level of bodhicitta in action? Well, what we do is we first give rise to the aspiration of bodhicitta, and then through the instructions of our Vajra Guru, we then practice, and then what we can be achieving is both bodhicitta in aspiration and bodhicitta in action. However, without the instructions from the Vajra Guru, to practice bodhicitta in action is very, very difficult. In the case that we have these auspicious pit instructions, first we can give rise to bodhicitta in aspiration, and then applying the pit instructions in practice, we are able to practice bodhicitta in action. Through the pit instructions given to us by our Vajra Guru, we can realize our true nature of mind, we can realize Rigpa, and this is bodhicitta in action. And so this bodhicitta in action is recognizing the true nature of mind. And to recognize the true nature of mind is, of course, very auspicious. And then how do we make it even more auspicious? Through the support of bodhicitta. And then in this case, it is the highest level of practice of the Mahayana and the practice of the highest level of the great perfection. And if we apply ourselves in this way, we can really achieve boundless supreme merit. And in this case, the state of our realization is completely different, and the extent of our merit is very different. And then when we are practicing the great perfection pith instructions, why is it that these great perfection pith instructions have such great vast blessing and merit? And what is this great blessing is that through just one of these very auspicious pith instructions, we can really cut through all of these countless afflictions that we may experience. And through this, we really see that practicing these great perfection pith instructions is really supreme. If we didn't have these pith instructions, how would we recite? How would we practice? How would we think? When will we ever bring an end to these discriminatory thoughts of ours? If we don't cut through these discriminatory thoughts, then in our practice, sometimes our practice is positive, sometimes it is negative. And this happens because our mind is unstable. And when our mind is unstable, there's no ways that we will be able to realize the most profound Dharma. However, as soon as we start practicing these pith instructions with just one pith instruction, it will bring an end to all of these, or cut through all of these afflictive emotions. Just think, how incredibly profound is this one pith instruction? Through study and learning, how long will it take us to be able to cut through all of these discriminatory thoughts? We might study and learn for 20 or 30 years, and still there is no guarantee that we will have cut through all of our discriminations. However, just through one auspicious pith instruction of the great perfection, we will be able to cut through how many years of discriminatory thoughts? In just a moment. And that is why I tell everybody to practice their pith instructions well. They are so important. For instance, all we have to do is visualize a lotus. And if we do this, then there's no other discriminatory thoughts that can come in. However, as soon as our awareness leaves the lotus, then all these discriminatory thoughts arise again. Thinking about this, thinking about that. And so really the merit of practicing these pith instructions is completely different.